H-A-L-L-O-W-E-N spells Halloween. Welcome to the Black Hole, the Halloween update special. It's been a while since I've done anything with my podcast, but I do pay $14 a month to keep it up and running so that people can download and listen to the Black Hole podcast. Initially a podcast about me becoming a coal miner in southwestern Pennsylvania. I kept 5-minute notes after each shift, later edited these all into half-hour episodes, and there are 8 of them, plus an epilogue. So on the Halloween podcast special, I want to review a scary movie. Since I was a film studies major at the University of Pittsburgh, which is what I have my bachelor's degree in, figured I would review a scary movie for Halloween, and then I'm just going to close with a couple updates on how things are going with me and some of my goals. So I'm going to review The Conjuring. It's a 2013 scary film starring Ron Livingston. You may remember him from Office Space. He is the head of a family. He has a wife and 4 daughters, and they buy a house out in the countryside. Now, I should say this is prefaced by a pair of demonologists, a married couple who also have a daughter. This story came directly from their sealed files and was made into a movie. So Livingston's character buys a house out in the country on a body of water, and we start the film after we meet the demonologist giving some speeches of the family moving in. And they play a game of hide and seek, the young daughters do, and they find in the space under the stairs a closet. One is hiding there, and then she gets bumped backwards and knocks down some boards on the wall to reveal that there is another stairwell that leads to a basement. This is a surprise to Livingston and his wife, and they look at it as extra space. They go down and find a bunch of spooky a piano and a bunch of furniture and stuff. So that's my first critique of this film, because after he installs a light bulb down there, the house always seems cold, so he's going to check out the furnace in the basement. So how this was a surprise, I don't understand. It seems like a plot hole. You didn't know the house you bought had a basement, and you bought a house without a furnace, hypothetically, or you thought the furnace was just magic and you didn't know where it was. So they're surprised by this basement stairwell that was boarded up with trim, with finished boards. So that seems like a critique for this film. That's my first one. It's kind of like Bob Vila watching scary movies. I am a painting contractor. I've done carpentry, all kinds of different things on houses. So you're kind of listening to like a Bob Vila character critiquing a horror film. Could you imagine him watching a horror film and saying, "What is up with this situation?" My second critique of the film is that we flashbacked. We're keeping up with the demonologists and what they're up to while this family is slowly becoming haunted in their new house. And the demonologists go out on a call to this house, and they're up in the attic, and the couple who owns the house on this secondary call, not the original family, this couple. We only see them for a few minutes while they're out on this call. The demonologist explained that there's a broken window in the attic and that there are radiator pipes, heating pipes, that go to the radiators, and you can see them on the camera. They're strapped to the uninsulated attic in this house. So I'm not sure exactly where this film takes place, but if you have heating equipment, you can assume that it gets below freezing at some point through the year. And to strap water-carrying pipes to an uninsulated attic roof is highly unadvisable. Those pipes are going to burst, they're going to crack, the water's going to go everywhere. Plus, the window's broken, so they really are going to get frozen when the temperature drops. And they explain that the window is blowing over and the water moving through the pipes is what they're hearing, and that their house isn't haunted. But I'm just looking at the technical aspects of this situation and how no one would build a house like that. At least I don't think they would. I'd have to ask Bob Vila. So that's my second critique. The third critique comes later when the demonologists and their team come out to the house and are working with a state trooper. They set up cameras all through the house to capture the demon witch that's haunting the house and terrorizing the family. And the male demonologist decides to work on an old Chevy that Ron Livingston's character has out in a shed. He never had the time or the money to fix it, so this demonologist bought a carburetor kit and is installing it on the car when Ron Livingston's character comes home. And he goes out to help the demonologist, or he goes out to talk to the demonologist, ask him what he's doing to the car. The demonologist explains he found this kit and he's installing the kit. And he asks Ron Livingston's character, and I quote, "Hand me a wrench." That's the line in this film. Hand me a wrench. Anyone that's worked on cars or any other mechanical things knows that you don't usually just ask for a wrench. You're usually pretty specific as to what kind of wrench you need. Is it a 3/4 wrench, a 1/2 inch, a 7/16 wrench? What type of wrench do you need? Or is it a crescent wrench, which can adjust to all different sizes? But you rarely, the line, "hand me a wrench," is so unspecific that it seems that the person that wrote this film has never worked on anything mechanical in their lives. So those are my three critiques of this film. It's a spooky thriller movie. I recommend watching it, but keep in mind my critiques as you watch this film, The Conjuring. So Hollywood is making these. They made it. Hollywood made it, and I'm still trying to make my short film. But Hollywood apparently doesn't have technical experts to explain that these items aren't feasible or just don't make sense. So I'm still for hire, Hollywood. If you need a technical expert to work on your scripts and screenplays, I'll explain why these situations don't really add up. And even with suspension of disbelief, there are people out there that know what they're talking about with houses and machines that probably are like picking this film apart. Still trying to make my short film. I pitch it in episode 8, in the last 10 minutes of episode 8 of The Black Hole. It's a short film involving me and my father and solitary confinement, in which I actually have experienced. And it has to do with a patent number that I found isn't showing up in searches through the web portal of the patent office. So this is my way of publishing it. But I don't know if it'll ever get made, which is fine. I have some different ideas on how to get it made. Tune in to another episode of the Black Hole Podcast, where I pitch my idea on how to get this short film made. So now for some updates. I've decided to run for mayor of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania in the 2021 election. It's not that I think the current mayor is doing a horrible job. It's that I think I can do a much better job and deliver direct democracy. In fact, that's my platform, direct democracy. Basically, the city has a parking authority website where you verify your address each year using bills and a verification process so that you can buy a parking pass to park your vehicles on the street. I want to do the same thing for a voting website where you verify your address that you're a citizen of Pittsburgh once per year, and then you're given a username and password. You can watch the city television channel for deliberation on all new laws and budgets being passed through the city, and every citizen gets a vote on all new law, ordinances, and budget. It's direct democracy. It's true democracy. We vote on everything. Every person gets a vote on everything. Now, I think only 60,000 people in the city voted for mayor last time, something like that. So you may only have a core base of people who vote on everything of 60,000 in a city of several hundred thousand, but that's all right. If you want to vote, you have the option. And that's what I think we should deliver as a country, is direct democracy. You have the option to vote on everything that affects your life. So first we'll start at the city level and deliver this website where everyone can vote on all new law and ordinances. So that's my platform. I have a website. It's called www.mitchformayor.com. That's Mitch, the number 4, mayor.com. On my website, I've made some funny videos to help people through the pandemic. I've also put up some serious videos of some other platform ideas I have for mayor of Pittsburgh. So that's the new news, where I'm taking my career hypothetically is running for mayor of Pittsburgh. I figure if I start now, maybe I could win in 2021 or keep the campaign going till 2025 and hopefully win then. So in my epilogue to the Black Hole, I talked about creating a podcast of my hometown, my small town of Utica. It's 200 people. I've decided against that, incorporating my grandparents into it and everything. I don't want to step on anyone's toes talking about growing up in a small town. And I have some better ideas that came along anyway. Number one, one of those ideas is I'm writing a novel. It's basically outlined some of the things that I would do as mayor of Pittsburgh, but it starts in my hometown of Utica with me as mayor of that town, and it basically is a revolution, a political and technological revolution. I'm the head of a technology company that was founded by some female celebrities, and it shows what could happen if celebrities use their fame to have a political and technological revolution, bringing about a lot of great changes on the local levels of the small town of Utica, Franklin, Oil City, and eventually Pittsburgh. So tune in for that, because my next podcast series, my next season, is going to be, I think, me reading chapter by chapter my novel when I've completed it. That way you can access it for free, and each episode will be a chapter. So if you'd like to sponsor me on that, I have some ideas. I can announce your business at the beginning of the or end of the podcast episode. So that's one idea. Also in the epilogue, I said, what am I going to do now that I'm not a coal miner anymore? I was going to make decent money. I was going to make $60,000 to $100,000 a year. I know I'll sell my paintings for $1,000 a piece. A little bit delusional there. I haven't sold any yet. I haven't even sold them for the price I have them listed on my Plot M website. That's Plot, the letter M, as in Mitch, .com. They're for sale for $250, somewhere around there. They're pretty interesting paintings. Maybe I should explain them. They're old Mitch Miller vinyls. You see, there was a man named Mitch Miller that lived in the 50s up until just a few years ago. He was an executive at Columbia Records, and he made sing-along music, old classic sing-along songs with his choir and his big band. It was called Sing Along with Mitch. I take these vinyls, I cover them with paint. Most of the vinyls have a picture of Mitch Miller himself on them. I cover this likeness with a mask, the Guy Fawkes mask, popularized by the V for Vendetta film. And you can see some of these paintings. I have many more. That's why I've enlisted all of them. You can see these paintings on my Plot M website. If you go to the tab. So I'm not entertaining the delusion that I'm going to sell a bunch of paintings to supplement my income. Although I do think they're pretty cool paintings, and I do think they'll be worth money someday. Hopefully $1,000, hopefully more. I also have launched a YouTube channel. It's called Disability TV. If you search for Disability TV, it should come up. And basically, I don't think I've mentioned my disability in any of these podcasts, but I have a mental health disability I was diagnosed with back when I was in solitary confinement in 2010, 2011. And my mental health disability doesn't preclude me from getting out hiking and enjoying nature. So I decided for those that may have a physical disability that find it more difficult to get out to hike these trails, my spouse and I like to hike a lot, so we hike trails, and I bought a GoPro camera that I clip to my head and capture different trails and different hikes. And I make them into 10-minute videos that I put in a playlist so that you can play the whole hike in one playlist, or you can just watch a 10-minute video at a time. I chopped them up to make them easier to put onto YouTube. And so there's different playlists with the entire hike. Some of them are up to 8-9 parts. So that's another new channel I'm launching called Disability TV. And I'm trying to create a media company between the paintings, between the novel, between the movie, a media company for disabled people by disabled people. When I say for disabled people, as you can see, these hikes might be relaxing for certain individuals, but it's for everyone, but it's geared towards disabled people just as much as everyone else. So that's Disability TV. You can search that on YouTube. Please subscribe to it if you would. I'd greatly appreciate it. I post videos every couple months or so. I'm going to be on hiatus through the winter because we don't do much hiking through the winter. Every several weeks, I post a series of videos of different hikes we've done. So I'll close out the podcast with an update from my sexual harassment proceedings. I explained in the epilogue that I was sexually harassed, which is the driving reason why I quit coal mining, among other things, and some of my political views that I expressed in this podcast have changed since then. You know, I was just kind of drinking the Kool-Aid while I was a coal miner, and I've kind of regressed back to some of my old feelings. But an update on the sexual harassment proceedings. I did hire a lawyer. We did file a complaint with the EEOC, the Equal Employment, Federal Equal Employment Agency, so that they could investigate the coal mine I worked at. They did that investigation. They came back with the finding that the coal miner in question, the HR department of the coal mine, did an investigation and disciplined the coal miner that sexually assaulted me. So they did discipline him. They found that the threat made to me by my supervisor, they couldn't prove that that actually happened because I never filed that complaint with HR and gave them time to investigate that complaint. I just resigned. So therefore, they found that they weren't recommending action in my hearing in any kind of settlement or any type of mediation between me and the coal mine. But I got a little bit of closure. I found out that the coal miner was disciplined. He was found in the wrong. Maybe those other miners that were harassed or assaulted did step forward and say that they also experienced what I experienced, and he was disciplined. So that's all I was really looking for anyway, was a little closure. And so I got that out of the whole situation. And all in all, it cost me $300 to hire the lawyer to get a little closure. So that's my update from my sexual harassment proceedings. It's a shame it happened. But that's life. In this Me Too world, I guess I found myself right in the middle of it. A weird situation, but I've overcome it. My main driving factor, what made me paranoid, was that this guy was going to retaliate against me, come find me at my house for reporting him, because coal miners are pretty mentally unstable. To work in a coal mine 950 feet underground, you have to be a certain type of person. I wouldn't say all coal miners are mentally unstable, but you have to have a certain type of mental disposition to do that type of work. So that's pretty much it. Thanks for tuning in 2 weeks before Halloween. I hope you like my critique of The Conjuring. Not technically on solid ground, but it's a horror film. I guess they didn't do their due diligence and shot some scenes that just didn't make much sense to me. But we'll keep watching our scary movies, and I'll keep critiquing them in my mind. And if I see a film with this many holes in it, this many things that don't make sense, maybe I'll do another critique. But probably not. This is just probably my update for the year until I finish the novel. I'm hoping to finish in the next 3 to 4 months. So then I'll have to go through an editing process. I have some friends that might want to edit the novel once I finish it. My spouse usually helps me edit my novels. Then I'll... Once I have all the edits in, I'll begin reading it episode by episode, chapter by chapter on this podcast. So thanks for tuning in. Thanks for subscribing. Appreciate all your support. Please feel free to share with friends and on your social media. And thanks again. So this is Mitch Miller signing out. Have a happy Halloween. and take care.